It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
If it's Tuesday, it's primary day for voters in Arizona, Michigan, Missouri, Kansas, and Washington State, with the possibility of major consequences on the horizon. Two progressive members of the squad are facing primary challenges from centrist, or as I call them, conservadems. In Missouri, that's Cori Bush. In Michigan, Rashida Tlaib, both facing primaries from the right. Also in Michigan, Congressman Andy Levin, another true progressive, is challenged by new Dem Representative Haley Stevens, who's challenging him due to redistricting. In addition to every House race on the ballot, Senate nominees will be chosen in Missouri, Arizona, and Washington. Now, in Missouri, Democrats have a real shot at picking up another Senate seat if Lucas Kunz prevails in the primary. He, too, was endorsed by Bernie Sanders on Monday. Meanwhile, the former guy has apparently endorsed two Republicans in the race by just simply stating his support was going to Eric. There are two Erics running for the Republican nomination. Eric Reitens, the scandal-plagued former governor who's accused of assaulting his ex-wife, nice, and Eric Schmidt, Missouri's attorney general. Both Reitens and Schmidt immediately claimed the endorsement. There are two other Republicans in the race for the nomination, Representative Vicky Hartzler and Billy Long, but neither of them is named Eric. In Arizona, a handful of election deniers are on the ballot, including two of them running to be Arizona's Secretary of State. The current Secretary of State, Democrat Katie Hobbs, is favored to get her party's nomination in the race for governor. Leading the field for the Republicans to go up against Katie Hobbs is former TV anchor and MAGA reality denier Carrie Lake. Now, there are a few Republicans, a few Trumpers, vying to get on the ballot to oppose Senator Mark Kelly, who will be defending his seat in November. Kansas will be the first state to vote on a measure that could end Kansans' constitutional right to an abortion post-Roe. Today is also a big test for three of the 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Trump, who are facing primaries. Representatives Jamie Herrera Butler in Washington, Dan Newhouse in Washington, and Peter Major in Michigan. Trump has endorsed challengers to each of them, and Democrats have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars running ads to support a guy named John Gibbs, Trump's pick to oust Major in Michigan, because they think that the Trumper will be easier to defeat in the general election. Bernie Sanders, when endorsing in the race, also voiced his displeasure with the Democrat strategy. He said, quote, "I think it speaks to the weakness of the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party has to a large degree turned its back on working families, forfeiting them, giving them over to a right-wing Republican Party, which could care less about them, and therefore you're left with trying to decide who your opponents are going to be." Sorry. Bad impersonation of a good Bernie Sanders. The only Republican who faced a Trump-endorsed challenger after voting to impeach him, Congressman Tom Rice, lost in a blowout in June. Well, they never confirmed it was going to happen, but Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi has touched down in Taiwan for a controversial visit. Despite warnings from Biden administration officials who are worried about China's response to such a high-profile visit. But she's there, a first for U.S. Speaker of the House in 25 years. And it comes at a time when U.S.-China relations are strained.
What she is saying in part in this statement mirrors what we have heard from the Biden administration over the last 24, 48 hours, making the argument that Nancy Pelosi's trip to Taiwan isn't unprecedented, saying that other members of Congress have visited Taiwan and the circumstances today are incredibly different. But the Biden administration has been calling on China not to escalate things, with the Secretary of State saying if there is a crisis that's created here, that would be entirely on China. This visit comes as U.S. intelligence officials have been saying publicly that China has been working hard to be able to militarily take over Taiwan. So while the Biden administration says this one China policy stands, and Speaker Pelosi also said that in her statement, this physical show of support in the context of China trying to build up militarily to take over Taiwan is in and of itself significant.
Reuters is reporting that not only has China made verbal threats, it's also attempting to make physical ones, reporting that several Chinese warships and planes had traveled near the Meridian Line, that's the unofficial border between China and Taiwan, in the Taiwan Strait. But history tells us that Pelosi has always been defiant of Beijing, and so this is nothing new. So you know how those gas prices have been rising and Republicans put those "Joe Biden did that" stickers on the gas pumps? Blaming him? Well, try blaming the oil companies. British energy giant BP reported Tuesday that its second quarter earnings tripled as oil and gas prices skyrocketed after the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Go figure. The company said profit rose to $8.45 billion, up from $2.8 billion in the second quarter of 2021. Wow. These earnings allowed BP to return money to shareholders by boosting its dividend by 10%, with expected 4% annual dividend increases through 2025. The British government has announced a 25% windfall profit tax on energy company earnings from domestic operations as that country struggles with 9.4% inflation. Yes, that's a 40-year high. President Biden, are you listening? Biden made a big national security announcement on Monday night. The U.S. killed Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri in a drone strike. The world's most wanted terrorist and one of the masterminds of the 9/11 attacks was killed after months of highly secret planning by Biden and a number of his senior advisors. The president saying that people around the world no longer need to fear the vicious and determined killer. He said the moment was a political win, as he emphasized that the U.S., quote, will always do what is necessary to ensure the security of Americans. All righty then. A federal judge on Monday sentenced Guy Reffitt, he being the first Capitol rioter to go on trial, to just over 7 years in prison. That's the longest term yet for anybody charged with crimes linked to January 6, 2021 attack on Congress. Reffitt from Wiley, Texas, was found guilty back in March by a federal jury on 5 felony charges, including obstruction of justice and entering a restricted building with a firearm. Prosecutors had asked the judge to classify Reffitt's crimes as domestic terrorism and give him 15 years in prison. The judge rejected the terrorism classification, saying it would result in a far harsher punishment for Reffitt than the other defendants charged over the insurrection. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.